prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield. There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul, 26th November 2024. And you're in store for another, I think, heart-touching broadcast tonight. And I hope that you folks know we've been asking for donations to send to North Carolina where Dr. Molly James is working. We're still taking those, and next Thursday we're going to put together a lump sum. And I'm asking Denise to send out a check to Dr. Molly for everything you sent in, cash-wise. We have somebody bought some food. We're going to get ready to ship some food down from New Manna. And a good gentleman, like I said last night, from Arkansas, is bringing in a fifth wheeler for somebody to take and live in. And I found out there's a lady sent me an email yesterday and said they need a bunch of heaters. Well, somebody brought in 8 truckloads of heaters. So it gets cold in the mountains of North Carolina, too, folks, cold. So they brought in heaters, people that have to stay warm through the winter. This place is still a disaster, from what I understand, what I've been seeing on live video. So I want to thank you all for being out there and for praying for these people. And it's a prayer question tonight. I do have a couple, if you don't mind. One is for Shannon. Y'all, from time to time, and you know that Shannon works here in the office with us and helps keep things moving around the household here. Her mom is in serious pain in her back. They don't know what the problem is. They're getting ready to do some MRI and whatever, and they're afraid it could be an infection of some kind, which can be very serious. But anyway, keep Shannon's mom in prayer. And also our brother Daryl from PA. Bless his heart. Daryl's had a hard time with himself physically the last several years and with a stroke in his right side, and he keeps right on plugging along. He's just like an old bulldog. He gets a hold and doesn't turn loose. But you heard him mention his cousin Scott. Been helping him a lot around his house and taking care of him, different things. Well, Scott and Mickey, that's his wife, I assume. I need to keep them in prayer, if you don't mind. Their son, Alan, who was injured in Afghanistan with a roadside bomb, a car bomb, was seriously injured. And sad to say that Alan took his own life, and that's really a heartbreaking thing to hear. But please keep Scott and the family in prayers, and Daryl, too. Daryl's got a big heart. But keep the family in prayers if you don't mind. And, of course, Shannon's mom pleads for healing. And don't forget, we're offering the 2 books that I think are very important, especially this time of year. One book, especially this time of year, is Christmas Christian. You want to know the truth? We got it. And people ask a lot of time, well, how about cremation? It's cheaper than being buried. What's the Bible say about that? It does say something about that, actually. And a copy of that, we have a book on that called is Cremation Christian. Both books are $15, shipped to your door. Of course, we're still offering all the other products, folks, the straws and different things. Now, this Thursday, as you know, will be closed. Obviously, it's Thanksgiving, my favorite holiday of the year. And Friday, I told everybody just take the day off, too, because they want to take a long weekend with the family. And let's do that. Let everybody do that. We're back in normal, if you can call us normal next week and nothing goes wrong. So, but don't forget to continue to send in what you can to help us, the folks in North Carolina. And our guest tonight, Her name is Sherry Kuntz, lives in that area, and she's been working hard along with the other people trying to get some kind of semblance of hope and normalcy back in these people's lives. They were devastated by this man-made hurricane we called Helene that wiped out people's homes and actually took their land off from under them. Now, this is all true, folks. If you haven't seen anything about that online, you need to find some information about that. That place looks like it looks worse than a war zone some places. It's unbelievable. And the lies we've been told on the mainstream media, by the way, mainstream media, as I said the other night, has forgotten all about them. You never hear it mentioned anymore. FEMA's pulled out. Matter of fact, there's some Amish people took some homes down there, sand, little cabins live in, and the government made them take them away because they didn't pass inspection. Now, this is what we have for government, folks. We feed millions of illegals, house them, clothe them, feed them, take care of them, free education, and we don't take care of our own people. That is hypocrisy beyond words, and it makes me angry. But Sherry, you there?
I am, and that makes me angry, too. That's definitely something I wanted to bring up myself because it's very frustrating to see the level of destruction and how long it's been since it happened and where it's still at. The government has just stepped back and let us fend for ourselves to try to fix what's going on or try to help the people that survived it. It's criminal is what it is.
It is criminal. It is criminal. Somebody should go to jail for this. I'm serious. But before we get started, what you want to share, because I know you want, I ask Sherry and Nate folks to open her heart up and share from right inside her deepest part of her heart and soul what she's seeing. But anyway, tell the folks who Sherry is and what you do.
Well, my name is Sherry Kuntz. I'm a 15-year Army veteran. I have been married for 37 years. I have four children. I was Volunteer of the Year for Senior Services last year. I've been delivering Meals on Wheels for 22 years. I have been up in Western North Carolina. That's something that's near and dear to my heart. I am a servant. I have a servant's heart, and I really feel like that's what I've been led to do, you know, across the board in my life. You know, before this happened in Western North Carolina, I really want to be able to help as much as I can. So to me, that defines me.
Uh-huh. What do you do for a living? What is the,
I have a water garden.
To pay your bills?
Yeah, I have a water garden business. So that's how I'm able to do some of the things I do. I am self-employed. We build koi ponds and goldfish ponds, and we maintain and service them. And we've had that business for about, I think, around 26 years. But so that's what we do for a living with Carolina Pondscapes.
Okay. And I assume, of course, you said you're married. So you have family. Now, is your whole family from that area? In that area?
We are. Yeah. My extended family is in Bryson City, which is up on the other side of Asheville. But most of my family is around me. My immediate family is all around me in the High Point, Thomasville, Winston, Greensboro area.
And how hard was your area hit?
Where we're at, we didn't get hit very hard, and that's why I have been back and forth to Western North Carolina just over and over. I have taken truckloads and trailer loads and my SUV loaded back and forth over and over. I have a lot of friends online and personally who have really stepped up, and they've donated money. They've given me the ability to – I've taken hundreds of heaters up. I've taken propane up. I mean, I've – you know, they've given me the ability to really step in there and make a difference for a lot of people. I've been working hand-in-hand with a couple of different churches up there in different towns, in Lansing and Newlands, places, you know, that are hit pretty hard. And I've been able to get up there and really see a lot of the devastation that has happened firsthand and see the progression of how, you know, based on, you know, I was up there within a couple of days of the hurricane coming through. So I saw how bad it was then, all the power lines down, all the power poles down, you know, just mudslides everywhere. It was just absolutely mind-boggling to be able to witness something like that, you know, here. And then over the past couple of months, as I made complete, you know, repeated trips up, I've seen, you know, repairs happening. But who's doing the repairs? The American people coming in, like the coal miners from Virginia that, you know, fix the road between Batcave and Chimney Rock. You know, It's not the government coming in. They're not coming in and fixing anything. And the bad thing about that repair for that road.
Being from West Virginia myself, made me feel good to see some of our folks down there doing that. I mean, that's the kind of people that country folk kind of are, to tell you the truth. They go out there and do what they got to do. I don't want to get too far ahead of you here, but so you were there right after the situation happened. How involved and how much help did any part of the federal or state governments do?
Well, in repeated trips up there, I didn't see FEMA. And then when I went to Lansing, I actually saw an office set up, and they had some poster boards out there with the word FEMA on them and an arrow pointing to the little small house they had set up down there. So they had sent a couple of people in to help people fill out paperwork to apply for that $750 benefit that they were giving them, that they've denied to pretty much everybody. But that was the only FEMA involvement that I saw. I didn't see FEMA trucks. I didn't see anything. I mean, none of the other relief organizations through the government, they weren't there.
They just weren't there. Go ahead.
Well, even Red Cross, I was working at a church in Newland, and finally, a Red Cross, I was pulled in because I was getting ready to unload the things that I had brought up, and the Red Cross man pulled up behind me, and the pastor's wife came out, and like the problem was that the Red Cross and other organizations through the government were coming into the churches and taking the donations, and they were taking them to go stage them wherever they wanted to or whatever they were doing. And what they do, if they take them, then if they decide not to use them for this disaster, they don't have to. They just stockpile whatever's donated. So the pastor's wife was like, oh, no, they are not welcome here. And, like, they didn't allow the Red Cross to come in there at all. Like, the church sent them away. So everybody knew what was going on up there. All the local people up there knew exactly what was going on.
Even the Red Cross was going to rip them off.
Even the Red Cross. Yes. So the Red Cross, FEMA, none of the ones that are controlled by the government were welcome anywhere, but they weren't coming in. But when she saw that van, she told them they were not welcome there because she knew what they were doing. And I, like, before I found out about the church that I went to in Lansing, I had taken people donated a whole bunch of, like, rubber boots and different things like that. And so someone had given me the location to go to the middle school there. Well, the middle school, of course, is run by the government. But I wasn't clear on exactly how everything was going then. So I pulled up at the middle school, and I got out, and I asked someone, I've got all these donations. Where do you want them? She was like, I don't know. Just put them somewhere. And then I saw they were shrink wrapping entire pallets without sorting them, without in any way trying to, sort them so that they could go directly out to people. They were just shrink wrapping them, picking them up with a bobcat and taking them inside the building. I was like, oh, no. No, no, this is not what we're going to do. I put myself back in my vehicle, closed it down, and we left. And that was the day I found the church in Lansing. And I've been working directly with that pastor, like, a lot. Because when I went to his church, like, not that time. That time I just delivered things. When I went back again, he actually took me, and my cousin went with me that time. And he took us out on the side-by-side to help deliver out into the community. So I can see exactly what he was doing and what the level of devastation was out in the hollers and, just in different places. And, I mean, it was absolutely horrible, but he was out there. That's who's saving the American people are the churches and the pastors. They are stepping up, and they are helping so, so many that have no hope otherwise.
Wow. And so we'll just put this aside then, but the FEMA and all other government agencies weren't there. They just didn't care. No matter what we're being told, they didn't do anything. So basically, but the ones who got the little bit of money, the $750, were there strings attached to that? They have to pay it back or anything like that to go along with that?
Well, that's what we heard, that there's a fine print on it when you sign for it, that you have to pay it back within a year. And then if you don't, then they'll take it out of your when you file your taxes. Now, whether that's true or not, I'm not positive. But that's, like, a lot of people said that was what it was. So, I mean, I think that's very likely because that's what
they
do.
I do, too. I don't doubt that at all. No, I really don't. I truly don't. But now, Also, rumors are going around that the government, the feds maybe, was threatening to take children that didn't have homes staying in. Was that true or not?
Well, what's happening is that all these people are getting campers, and they're getting hot tents, you know, the tent that has the heater built into it. They're getting these places to live in, but there's no running water, which means no hygiene. So where they're putting them up in farmers' fields. They're, you know, just random, wherever they can find a spot that somebody will let them put them in there, they're putting them up. But they're not putting in porta potties. There's no bathrooms. There's no showers. So one thing that DSS can take your kids away from is lack of hygiene. So that is a very huge worry for me right now, is that is exactly what's going to be happening a lot coming up, because this hygiene issue is going to be something new. And it's going to really, they're going to start taking kids away. Absolutely.
Because I do believe that could cause some problems. That could cause some big problems.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about gunfire.
But it's coming.
Problems.
Yeah.
That's coming.
It's unthinkable.
But that's unthinkable. These people can't help it. They're not like they're doing it on purpose.
I know, but they'll act like, what they act like is that we're still living in modern times. And that these people have options. They don't. They have no options. This is a struggle to survive on a day-to-day basis. I mean, this past weekend, I went up to Pensacola to Camp Miller and helped serve food and worked there in the camp and saw all the people coming in. Like, all the people from town were coming in to get food, and they're, you know, coming in with their kids. They're coming in on four-wheelers and side-by-sides and pickup trucks in any way they can get in, and they're picking up food for themselves, for their neighbors. They're all it's a struggle to survive right now, and it's heartbreaking. It really, really is. And I mean, the volunteers are just amazing. I mean, we saw so many. There's so many people staying, like at Camp Miller. They're just so many volunteers, and they come in and they eat breakfast, and then they go straight out. They're given their assignments for the day, and they've got sawmill crews, and they've got road crews, and they've got, you know, they're bringing their own equipment up there, and they're just doing amazing things. And every day they've got lists of things that need to be done, and they're working their way through these lists. But these are all volunteers. These are not government workers. You know, you don't see anybody from the government up there at all. You know, this is all people that are coming from all over the country, and some of them have quit their jobs. Some of them are taking a hiatus from their job. But they're all just showing up, and they're staying for weeks. You know, some of them have been there since day one. And it is absolutely mind-blowing to think that these people are doing this for their fellow Americans. And, I mean, that's how it's supposed to be. That's what we're supposed to do.
Well, at this point, you couldn't trust the government coming in anyway. You couldn't trust them.
Absolutely
anytime
not.
Anytime they do something for you, there's a hook in it somewhere. But now, are the roads getting opened up somewhat? Are the arteries of the passage between towns, are they open again? What's going on there?
A lot of them are. There's a few that are still pretty sketchy, but for the most part, they're open. And I did mention that road that the coal miners came in and made from Bat Cave to Chimney Rock. Did you know that they put a gate up, closing that road off?
Who closed it off?
So now the town council, I watched a video about it. They did. They come in. They put up a gate. Somebody came, like one of the people in, like the volunteers that came out there, they went out there, used a chainsaw, cut the gate down. They went back out. What they're doing now, they are going to spend over $200,000 paying armed guards to guard that area so that people can't come through there. The town They can't pay to get the road fixed, but they can afford to pay private security to keep people from using the road because they're saying it's unsafe because the coal miners built it instead of, you know, the Army Corps of Engineers.
Oh, my.
So they literally are shutting the road. They shut that road down.
What low down scum. I tell you, that's unbelievable. Now, are getting any power restored back in the area? Any water back in the area yet? In some areas,
Cool. A lot of that has been restored. Power has been restored in a lot of places. Not all. Where I was at in Pensacola, they're still using solar power and generators. But a lot of places do have power. running water is, they're saying in some places that the water is now, they got water back running fairly quickly within a couple of weeks. But, and then just recently they have said it's now drinkable. But then I'm seeing people that are, you know, putting it in a clear glass and you can see things floating in it. So I wouldn't trust it to drink it, that's for sure. But they're saying that it's safe to drink. But I definitely wouldn't trust that. But they are getting, you know, they're getting back on track with some things. But there's, you know, so many people that lost their, not, they didn't just lose their home. They literally lost their land because of landslides. Their entire home and their land both just went away. You know, so I don't know how people are going to come back from that.
And I was wondering, where are these people staying in the area? Are they living with family? They move out and go somewhere else? What's happened to a lot of them?
A lot of them are they started out in hotels or motels or whatever. They're just trying to, you know, find a way to stay in the local area. But now they're getting these campers and these hot tents that are being donated. So they're trying, scrambling, trying to stay on land close by, because a lot of these people have kids that are in the school systems up there, and they don't want to uproot their kids. So they're trying to do whatever they can to stay in the area so that their kids can stay in the schools that they've been going to for years, you know. So they're scrambling, just trying to find a place to live. And there's so many requirements for the, like, you, if you have a camper, you have 3 months in that camper before you are required to get an electrical hookup. Now, there are some campgrounds that are opening up that do have electrical hookups and water and everything. But, I mean, they're charging $700, $800, $1,200 a month to rent a piece of property to set your camper on. It's, if that's not price gouging, I don't know what it is. You know, I mean, these people are scrambling to survive.
So even,
I mean, the
some
government
neighbors...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, the government is paying some of these farmers to be able to put these campers on their land. The government has come in and they're giving some sort of stipend to these farmers, but the farmers are not in any way required to give them running water, electricity, nothing. Because I went up right outside Black Mountain to help. I took some supplies up to this man that's helping a group of 17 families living in campers, and they have no running water, they have no sewer, no electricity, no heat, nothing. There's no porta potty set up, and there's no requirements for that farmer to set a porta potty up, even though he's charging them to put their campers there. You know, I feel like there should at least be there should be some sort of requirement if they're going to rent their land out, that they ought to be able to at least provide a bathroom, because this falls back to that hygiene issue. If people are just peeing and pooping and, you know, just wherever, or dumping, you know, 5-gallon buckets out on the ground. I mean, I've been on mission trips. I've been to third world countries. I've seen a lot of that stuff that goes on and how unhygienic it is and how dangerous it is. And that's how people get sick. You know, but our government is so stepped away from what is going on up there that they're not trying to stop any of this from happening. And honestly, people are going to die. People in North Carolina are absolutely going to die from this.
Well, you know, they could at least furnish some porta potties, but you got to go to the bathroom. There's no way around that. You know, you have to do those things.
Exactly.
You know, so
yeah,
I don't know.
They're not forcing people to do that, to provide anything like that, so they don't have to. They're just going to. I've started collecting just it's literally been in the last 2 days because it's kicked in home for me when I started thinking about it with these people in these campers. But I've started collecting the toilet seats that go on a 5-gallon bucket for people that are still in tents, because there are a lot of those. But toilet seats that go on a 5-gallon bucket, and then the bags that fit inside them, or they can go in the toilet on these campers so that people can collect their waste and at least get it out, because they can't use the bathroom in the camper because they can't dispose of it or clean it. You know, there's no, it's like the you have to go back to the bare bones with this and think about all the things we don't normally have to think about.
Yeah, that's knocked them back to the 18th century. You know, I mean,
way back. It truly has.
But now, we watched on the news, too, and I said the news is no longer mentioned. I haven't seen on any mainstream media at all nor can I be mentioned, how the people are faring up in the hills, what happened to them. I haven't heard a word about it, not for a long time. But they reported, I think somewhere, that's the report I had, 200 some people died or killed in this catastrophe. And that's the last I've heard. Do you have any account of any numbers?
Oh, it's in the thousands. The if you base it on the number of body bags that they requested, it's well into the thousands. I think when it's all said and done, because the thing is, they're not reporting people as a casualty unless they have DNA proof that they died. Now, they've got all these bodies. Even though they know they've got all these bodies, they're not counting them as dead until they can prove who that person was. So they've got a huge list of missing people, but they're not adding those people to the list of people who are deceased. So we've got a very small little number of people that they're saying, oh, we've lost, you know, almost 200 people. No, there are thousands and thousands of people who are missing. And if they're missing, then they're dead.
I've heard from credible sources now that it could be close to 20,000 or so before we get them all counted. They're probably dead.
Yep, that's the number I'm hearing too.
Well, now unless they can ID them somehow, they're not really counted as dead. I don't know how that works. I mean, dead's dead. I mean, can't you count dead body and say this is another casualty? I mean, what difference makes
exactly.
Who they are?
You would think, dead. Yeah, but they're trying to keep a lid on it. They don't want everybody to panic. And a lot of these people will never be found. They're under 10 feet of mud. You know, they're still bringing in cadaver dogs, and they're still, you know, trying to find bodies. But at this point, there's a lot that will never be found, just a whole lot.
My. And the attitude of the people around there, I mean, I'm sure they're probably wore out and tired. And I bet you most of them are still upbeat and trying to look the bright side of things, aren't they?
Oh, they are. Like when you go in the churches, the people who are volunteering and helping in the churches, a lot of them are the people who have lost everything. They literally, like I was talking to a woman at Pensacola last week. Her retirement was supposed to start the Monday before, so like less than a week before I was up there. And she was supposed to start her retirement. She literally lost her whole home and everything in it. And she said, I've just come and help and work so I can just try not to think about it. She was living with her sister. Her sister let her move in with her. But she had literally lost every single thing that she had ever owned, every memento, every possession, her home, everything gone in one wide sweep. I mean, how do you come back from that? The psychological issues that are going to arise from this, too, are just, you can't even fathom what the toll that's going to take on the people, kids, everything. It's going to be horrible.
Oh, it is. Folks, back at the break, a lot more conversation and your phone calls and questions. 844-769-2944. Now you see why we're trying to raise funds, folks. Let's help them all we can. Don't y'all go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the man of foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the man a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Namana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you, you can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
Folks, we're talking to Sherry Koontz, who's on the front lines in North Carolina, sharing from her heart what's happening, still happening. This, what we're discussing now, and I haven't seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it on video. Sherry's right down there looking at it. It's going to take years, if ever. You'll never get it back the way it was. Folks, you can't get back a piece of land that wore stuff under your house. You can't rebuild that property. It's gone forever. You cannot do that. People lost their homes and washed away, and the insurance can't find them to appraise them. They're not paying for the insurance and cars the same way. You cannot recoup from that, at least not in a very quick time. It's going to take years. And the mental scars that Sherry just saying is going to be in people's hearts and minds is unbelievable. And the lack of assistance from people supposed to care for them, like FEMA and others, and even the Red Cross, it can make you tainted. And it should towards government and other people. It should. But these people, Sherry's telling me, are still pretty much upbeat. And they're still out there working, and they're not really doing a lot of complaining and doing what they can to regroup and help other people. And, Sherry, the attitude of most people down there that I'm sure you work with are attitudes of gratitude, I'm sure. But other than that, are you seeing the people still maintain a mentality of hope and some, maybe some I don't want to look for some peace of mind?
Well, I think because of the area that this happened in, people, it's just filled with good people. There are so many good people there. Now, of course, there's some bad apples. But for the vast majority, there are such good, wholesome people. And they're just, you know, they're just stepping up. They're helping their neighbors. They're being the kind of people that everybody wishes what their neighbors would be. You know, and I've just seen so many different cases of people that are just good-hearted people that are going out of their way, and they're, you know, helping not just people that they know, but they're going and helping other people. And it's just amazing, the outpouring of love from the people in the area that have absolutely lost a lot or everything. And they're still, I mean, I was talking about a lady that I met in Pensacola who she literally, you know, had lost everything and turned right around and was volunteering. You know, I mean, that's what they do. So many are trying to get their mind off where they're at in this whole disaster by going out and being the hands and feet. You know, I mean, and that's exactly what they're doing, and it's a beautiful thing to see.
Well, I know it has to be. We were talking during the break, too, that there were some at the beginning and still some looting going on, people that are druggies, as you mentioned, right there, looking around and scavenge what they can to get some more drugs. That's everywhere. You can expect that, folks. It's sad, but it's everywhere. It's here in West Virginia. It's all the world, all the country. There's always people out there that are scavenging and are, I don't know what to say, the kind of people that would kick somebody when they're down, are pretty low down people, but people out there are just doing what they can to grab what they can. And that's what we're seeing some places. But overall, in North Carolina, I like to think is a good example of this. I'm sure it is. People helping the people, people watching out for each other. Now, when you approach these folks and they, you see they have need, are they a little bit leery at first about who you are and what you're doing?
Yes, and I think a lot of that, honestly, is a pride thing. Because you take things up, like we were taking boxes of food to people, and they're like, oh, no, I'm good. You take that to my neighbors. You know, take it to somebody else who needs it more. I'm good. And then you go, we tell them, just you keep it here, and if your neighbors come and they need something, you can share it with them. But then when you carry it in, you see they don't have anything. You know, we had one lady that was, you know, they came in to bring her things, and she said, oh, no, I've got everything I need right here. I've got a spring running behind the house. You know, I've got me a pot of pintos on. Are y'all hungry? I got a pot of pintos. There's plenty. You know, I mean, she's trying to feed the people who are bringing her food. That's what you see up there is, you know, that they're just good people, and they're doing everything they can to help everybody around them when they're in the most dire situation they have ever been in. I mean, my dad is, you know, he's older, and he told me, he said, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I never, because he went up with me. My dad went up and volunteered at one of the churches with me. And it's just mind-blowing to see the sheer devastation in the area. I mean, just and know that these people were living just like us, you know, a few weeks ago. And they were living their lives. They were going to football games. You know, they're enjoying their grandkids, enjoying their kids, and just living a regular life. And now all of a sudden the world has been yanked out from under their feet. And where do they go from that? I mean, they're literally depending on us to get the, help them get through this, because they cannot rely on our government. Our government is not there. Our government has absolutely stepped away, and they're just going to let us figure it out one way or the other. And if people die, then they just die. You know, and that's the attitude. It's absolutely heartbreaking. So that's why I'm so glad to be somebody from North Carolina, because you see how mountain people do, and it inspires you to be a better person.
Amen. Well, and by the way, folks, for those who heard her say she had a pot of pintos on, those weren't horses, those are beans, in case you didn't know, okay? I don't know what a pinto beans are, but anyway, they're a main course in the hills, believe me. So What are some of the things, what are some of the things that you see they need the most? Everything, clothing, what do you see that's the biggest need of right now?
Well, we're trying to get heat to everybody right now. And, I mean, you said that they brought in truckloads of heaters. I brought in hundreds of heaters. We're trying to get heaters to everybody. Mm-hmm. But once they get heaters, they've got to have propane. You know, a 20-gallon propane tank will last them almost a week. You know, and that's if they're just using it on low and heating a small space. You know, but then they run out of propane. They got to have more propane. You know, and if they're using a kerosene heater, kerosene's expensive. You know, I've been trying to, you know, not
so
really
propane.
Focus on kerosene.
Propane's not cheap either.
Oh, yeah.
Propane's expensive too.
Yeah, exactly. So our biggest focus has been heat, whatever it is, in whatever form it is, whether it's sleeping bags, blankets, heaters, propane, whatever source of heat that we can get to keep people alive. It's not just a matter of keeping people comfortable. It's life and death. We are trying to keep people alive at this point. I mean, we're going to be in subarctic temperatures within the next week. It's going to be in the 20s. It's going to, like, there's some sort of subarctic freeze. They're calling it a true Arctic air mass. And it's coming in, and the temperatures are going to be in the low 20s. And it's survival mode now, you know. So we're just trying to keep everybody alive. You know, so everybody can make it through this. And the sad thing is there are mothers with newborn babies up there. There are people with small children, and they all they want is to be able to live and stay on their property if they at all can. You know, so anything that we can do to keep them on that property, we all are obligated as Americans to do whatever we can do to make that happen.
And we're obligated just to being people. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But now, how many people would you estimate are still without any place to sleep at all? I mean, seriously, I mean, do they all have shelters now of some kind?
There are still people living in tents. There are still people living in cars. You know, I mean, it's a dire situation. Everyone is trying to get campers people are donating campers, people are bringing campers in. There are hundreds of campers at the Hickory Airport that are owned by FEMA that are still sitting there. And it's red tape holding them there. They can't issue them out to people because those they loan out and then take them back. So it's all this red tape to get them out. They're just sitting there while people are sleeping in cars. You know, that's horrible. I mean, people are literally going to die.
So they have campers sitting there and no place put them. And I understand that the Amish brought down some buildings, too. They didn't pass inspection, so they were rejected. Is that true? Did you hear that?
Yeah, that's true, because they won't let them run electricity to them because they don't pass inspection. So then the people don't have any sort of electricity, even if it's available on the property to try to, you know, get it hooked in. I mean, they've got places that they could use potentially, but because of all the regulations and all the red tape, it's causing people to not have a place to live. I mean, we're in a situation that is not typical. You can't say it's not passing inspection. You can't stay in it, you know, when they have nowhere else to stay.
I agree. Totally agree. But that's the insanity we have for government. And, folks, get your pen and paper handy. I'm going to give you an address. I hardly ever get our personal address here tonight, but I'm going to do that. This is for the ministry address. People want to, I know a lot of you have it. A lot of you don't. If you want to send a donation to us, check, cash, money, or whatever, you say, this goes to North Carolina. I promise you, folks, every penny of it will go to North Carolina. You have my solemn word on that, and I mean that. Or you can even call toll-free at 800-777-4403. Or if you can call long distance, it will save us money if you use this number, 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. Use a credit card, debit card. We'll see that goes right down to North Carolina next Thursday. It will be, I think, the 5th, if I'm right. I might have to look the date again. We were sending a check down to North Carolina to Dr. Molly James and her organization to take the money out and spread it where she wants to. We got a gift card mail the other day to send down to her. Gift card is always useful. They're just like cash. So if you want to help, here's our address. 224 Hurd, H-U-R-D, Road. 224 H-U-R-D, Hurd Road. And the town is Netty, N like in November, E-T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, W-E, West Virginia, 26681, 224 Hurd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. I'll start getting that out every night with a little commercial. We'll give it to you every night so you get it. But write to us, call us, give what you can, as much as you can. I don't care if it's $1. Folks, it's needed right now. These people are in desperate situations, and they will never, ever go back to what they had before. I don't care what they have lost. They can't never get back. I mean, how do you get back a house? You lived in it for 30, 40 years. How do you get back to things that were in that, were mementos and keepsakes that were priceless to you? How do you get those back? Even if the insurance pays, which a lot of them aren't, you can't buy that back. So help us if you can. Let's go to the phone line. Just talk to Jan in North Carolina or Iowa. Jan, come on in. Welcome.
That's okay, Pastor. I almost slipped and gave my North Carolina address where I lived to somebody today when they were wanting to know where I lived in my town. I was giving the North Carolina one. That's on my brain. I give her the number for the Central Methodist Church in Asheboro, the list I gave you. Give them that number. That's where they got the 8 truckloads of stuff. Give them the number.
Oh, great. Right. I don't
give
have
her that number, and she can go and pick it up.
Well, do you have it handy?
Get some taken up there to Lansing and around to Pensacola.
Do you have the number, Jan?
I know they're going as many places as they can, but, you know, where's the need? Where's the need?
Absolutely. I agree. Now, do you have the phone number with you for the church?
Yes, I do.
Well,
that
well,
number
get,
is.
The folks, write this down, right? You might want to send something yourself. Write this down. Go ahead.
Okay. It's 1336 629-1425.
One more time.
And 1-336-629-1425. And they'll call you back. Or I just kept calling until I got them. They are busy sorting
and
sending and doing. But they'll call you.
And Sherry, did you get that number?
I do.
Okay, get that number and call. I'm sure they help all they can. Jan, thank you for all you've done to help too. I mean, we appreciate you.
And get me a number for her, Pastor. Like I said, I'm going church to church to church to people that I do business with. I'm talking to people like the guy that sold me my car last year. I was out there. Take this. And he's the guy that was going up to see his mom in Michigan, not Wisconsin, or somewhere up there. He goes up there at Thanksgiving every year. Take that up there. Give this to your mom. Have her tell her church. Somebody whose grandfather or wife's grandfather is a pastor in another town. Give this to him. That's what I've been doing all week. Church to place, and a shout out, if you will, to the American Legion in West Point. I went there. They had just come back from a funeral, but the commander was there, and he said, I have to make a call and tell him what I'm doing, but we'll do something. And a couple of the volunteer firefighters were there, and he says, give me a few of these, and I'll give some to them, and we'll take them to our churches, and we ourselves will do something, and I'm sure the fire department will do something.
Amen.
So we
Amen.
Are getting you. We're trying to get as much help as we can to you, dear, as much help as we can. Just place to place to place, person to person.
Praise God. And Sherry, do you have a number that you can share with people they can call, a number that they can call and get information, get in touch maybe with you?
Yeah, if anybody wants to call.
Anything, Pastor.
Well, I'm referring people to Pastor Chris Goforth Ministries. He's one of the pastors that I've been helping, and he is definitely just stepping in there and helping in Avery County. He is just wonderful. So I've been really trying to help him a lot because I can see what he's doing in his community. But it's Chris Goforth, ChrisGoforth Ministry. And his, what is the name of his church?
Do you have a phone number?
I can't think of his church off the top of my head. I don't have his phone number right handy.
You get it for me and give it to me tomorrow, and I'll see it's on the air. How's that?
Okay. Yep. I definitely will.
Do that. And thanks for the call, Jan. Thanks for all you're doing. Thank you so much.
Go ahead. And if you get a chance to go over to Irwin, Tennessee, they had a 60-foot quarter mile long wave of water come through and take out a quarter mile of Irwin. It went through plastics factories. It went through everything. And all that was in the water. So if you find someone using the water in the creeks, see if they can filter it.
Yeah,
anything
definitely.
That was in the way is in the water now.
Okay.
So we got to be
careful.
Thank
you,
Jan,
so much. Okay, I mean that woman is a go getter. I tell you, Jan is after it hard. But you give me Chris Goforth's address and her phone number, and I'll get that out.
Okay. And he's with Phoenix Baptist Church.
Phoenix Baptist Church. Okay. All right. Let's talk to CK in Panama. Come on in, CK.
Pastor Butch, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Blessings to you and Sister Sharon. Buckle up, because I'm coming. We sent I got my Aunt Mary Hilton up in Lexington. She asked us to help out some family down in Batcave. And we sent an 18-wheeler up there. full of everything they asked for. And that sucker was diverted and sent off, but we don't know where exactly. And this has been weeks now, but it's pretty obvious to me that not only did they attack my people, but they have now added insult to injury. And I love Jesus. King Jesus is my thing. I mean, he is my all in all. And I wake up looking for Jesus. I spend all day talking to Jesus. And I go to bed asking Jesus to let me rest well, to wake up and do it again.
Amen. So well, I got to ask you,
my
quick question. Who diverted the truck? Who diverted the truck?
It was either the county working with the FEMA or the FEMA, and the county did nothing.
FEMA didn't. County nothing. That figures.
Well,
that figures.
I have to assume it was the feds.
That's what it makes sense. What was you wanting to ask?
And
They dropped the trailer off the tractor and took the trailer somewhere else, and the tractor had to stay.
My gracious. Oh, my. And what were you saying, Sherry? What were you saying, Sherry?
Well, that's what we're seeing. That's exactly what I told you happened. You know, they're just taking the donations or taking anything that comes in, and they're shrink-wrapping it and taking it away, and it's not being given out into the communities. So there's a group here in the town that I'm from, and they've been taking things up. And instead of taking it up, they had the ability to take it up by tractor trailer load. But instead, they rounded up hundreds of volunteers, people with pickup trucks, and they took it up one pallet at a time in pickup trucks so that it wouldn't get diverted. And that was their way to get around that system, get around it being confiscated. They took truckload after truckload after truckload into different communities so it could be donated to the people.
Wow. Go ahead, CK.
Pastor Butch, I love Jesus more than I love myself.
Amen.
And my question to you is, at what point do we say we're in an omni-war where they have decided to eradicate us? What point do we say that we're either going to protect our own people, or we're going to go ahead and just let the devil run roughshod over us? Because I know that the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. But it also is translated, thou shalt not murder. So at what point,
that's what it
my
means.
Question
that's what
is, and
kill.
I need it from my heart, my question is, at what point do we say that either we die on this hill or we die down the road?
I understand that. That's a good question. By the way, that is thou shalt not murder. That Ten Commandment actually came up, thou shalt not murder. Killing is not a sin if it's self-defense. It isn't. That's a good question. Good question, CK. I think we crossed that line way back. I believe we blew it. But thanks for calling Panama. I appreciate it. Let's go to Daryl in PA. Daryl, come on in. Welcome.
Hey, Pastor Butch, thank you so very much for asking prayer for Scott and Mickey Eberhardt. I appreciate that so much. And Sherry,
yes,
you were 16 years in the Army?
15,
okay.
Yes.
Well, Pastor Butch was in the Air Force. I was 12 years in the Air Force, enlisted. I made it DE-7, and then I got an Army warrant appointment and then a direct commission to captain. So I served with 101st Airborne Division, with Berlin Brigade, and with Fort Huachuca. So thank you, Sherry, for your service. And what you're saying about the Red Cross, that happened during World War II. Yeah, they brought people a few donuts and a few cups of coffee, but they kept most of the money for themselves that should have been gone to help others. So this is nothing new. And Pastor Butch knows, like I do, that we've got veterans in this country sleeping in cardboard boxes. And we have veterans dying all around the country that honorably served their country. And so I'm not happy about that, Pastor Butch. And I'd like you to mention that once in a while, that we shouldn't treat our veterans that way. We shouldn't treat people, mountain people, that way. They steered those storms. And
yes,
Dane Wigington has proven all that, how they do that. And so just everybody, please, as Janet called in, and that, please help these people. Send some stuff to Pastor Butch and designate it for down there in North Carolina. And Sherry, thank you for what you're doing there, and praise the Lord for people like you. Thank you so
much. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Thanks so much.
Okay,
and Sherry,
bye-bye.
I want you to please keep in touch with us and get that number for Chris Groford, please. And let me know when you get it. But keep in touch with us if you can. Keep us posted what's happening. I know you're busy up to your eyeballs already. But I do want to know, because if we need you back on the radio again, we'll get you on again. How's that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy to. And I will definitely get you Chris's number.
Well, do that, sweetheart. And thank you for what you're doing. And for whatever it's worth, you tell the folks down there that many people are praying for them. Physically, I can't be down there, but I certainly am trying to do everything I can to help raise something to supply some needs by the grace of God. And we're praying for them. So let them know. An old hillbilly preacher up here is working as best he can to help him, with a lot of people helping him. How's that?
Well, we appreciate it, and I truly believe in the power of prayer. So y'all just donate and pray, both those things.
All right. Thank you, Sherry. Now, please keep in touch, okay?
All right. Thank you so much for having
me. God bless you, sis. Bye-bye. Folks, I can't add anything to that. You heard it. We need to help him if you can. If you can at all, please do. And I promise you, if you want to send it through us, or Pastor Goforth, anybody else, please do it. We would, I promise you, every dime you send through here, we'll get there. Not one dime going anywhere else. That's a promise, because I can't do that. I'd be lying to you and God both, and I'm not going to do that. I don't want that on my conscience. So every penny will go to them if you'll help us get there. And New Manna Foods, trying to see what they can for every bit of food you order from New Manna Foods, they will match it and send it to North Carolina. That's a fair deal. That truly, truly is. Again, the number to call is 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. Help us if you can keep our bills paid, too. I know we're being greedy. I know men be greedy, folks. But that we want to be programming going as best we can for the glory of our Father. We'll see you tomorrow night. Just me and you tomorrow night, folks. Just me and you. See you there.
Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.